Okay, turn in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. As I go through this narrative, and what I mean by a narrative is it's really a story. It's an account of events with real people, a historical account, and it's a certain genre of scripture called the narrative. And they can be challenging to preach because the because the message isn't always necessarily very just right there. You have to follow along with what God is doing in the lives of these people, asking questions like, well, why does God tell us this? How does this benefit the reader, the original audience, and how does it benefit us today? How does it draw us to knowing God? And so that's my prayer as I walk through the book of Joshua, understanding that there are a ton of details we could focus on, but I believe the Lord will help us to highlight some very specific things and work that he is doing and wants to do in our lives. So tonight, I'd like us to focus our attention on Rahab and her faith. Rahab. What do we know about Rahab? Let's start with the children. What do you guys know about Rahab? Yes, Zach. Good. She was a woman. Well, it's a great place to start. I didn't say that, did I? Good. Rahab was a woman. What else? Zach. She let two spies down out of her window with a red cord. Rope. Good. Boy, oh boy. Anything else, Zach? Or Ian. Let's go, Ian. She lived in Jericho. Good. Very good. And Luke? She hid two spies in her house. I was wondering if we were going to get to the other part of the story. Yeah. Because that's why they needed to get out the window. Yeah. She hid the two spies in her house or on her roof, right? All right, so we remember this is a story that's common in Sunday school. And so we ask the question, Lord, what is the significance of Rahab? Lord, why communicate such a story to us? And so we look at that tonight. And first, we need to realize that she's involved in this story because Joshua sends out two spies. Now, if you've been following along in our study in Joshua, Joshua knows something about spying, doesn't he? He was a spy himself. And Joshua was sent out with a group of 12 spies to go spy out this land, this very land. And they came back, and 10 came back with an evil report. Joshua and Caleb gave a true report. Well, all of those 10 are dead. Now Joshua and Caleb are preparing to enter into the land with the people of Israel. They are on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and God is preparing them to cross. Joshua has just been encouraged, exhorted to be strong and courageous. And so, chapter 2, verse 1, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So there is this spying that's taking place. Joshua knows he needs to go into that land. That land is ours. It is given to us. But what is interesting is that he realizes there are things that he must do, that the people are to do in accomplishing this task. Now you know that as we follow along through what happens in the conquering of the land, God does some amazing things. Can you think of some things? The most obvious one close to this context is God does what? How does he conquer Jericho? Say it, Dane. The walls crumble down. I mean, that is the work of God. But you have to realize that they had to walk around that city. All of those times, they were an integral part of God's plan. And so here, Joshua sending in two spies. Their goal was certainly to not be detected. So they sneak into the city, and they go into a harlot's house. Now, of course, a harlot's going to invite anybody in. And yet, they are seen. And Rahab, of course, is questioned about this. Rahab hides them on her roof. She sends the guards out another way, and she protects these spies. Well, I want to focus in on verse 8 of this text, so Joshua 2, 8 and following. It says, "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men." Now notice what she says. Because you need to realize something. She took them into her home and protected them. Why? Why would a Jericho woman protect some spies? She knows they're spies. She knows that. Why would she protect them? And that's what we're going to learn. So notice what she says. She says, "I know," verse 9. What does she know? "I know, first of all, that the Lord has given you the land." How does she know that? How does she know that? There was no banners across the sky on the back of airplanes. There was no scroll sent by Joshua into Jericho saying, "This is our land." And yet she tells these spies, "I know that the Lord," interesting, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is Jehovah God, the covenant name of God. "I know that Yahweh has given you the land." She knows that your terror is fallen upon us. She knows that all the inhabitants of the land faint or melt because of you. You see, there's an effect going on here. Why is this happening? She continues. Verse 10. "For we have heard." Heard what? "Well, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." Just like today, in these days, news traveled. We cannot just assume that these people lived in complete ignorance of the happenings of the day, of the happenings of the world. They would have traveled for trade. There would have been people coming in and going out. And the people of Jericho, some 40 years ago, had heard something amazing that I believe probably went around the world of those days and amazed a lot of people. A couple million people just walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. It would have been one of those things where today, if we were to hear such a thing, we would look it up and see if it's fake news. We would wonder, something so incredible as that. And what is interesting is this is what they have heard. But she talks about another thing that they've heard. That she heard about them going across the Red Sea, but also what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. So the first one is this an amazing miracle of walking across a great sea on dry land. But the second one becomes a little closer to home because this is just on the other side of the Jordan, and it happens to be enemies or people that were in the way of the Israelites, and what happened to them? Utterly destroyed. So you connect the dots. They want to come across, and we're in their way. So if Sihon and Og were utterly destroyed, we'll probably be utterly destroyed. So you can only imagine what Jericho must have been like. I mean, she tells us that in verse 11, "And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, and neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." Because of you. Now, let's glean some truth from this. The Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, has chosen to work through these people, and he has delivered them from Egypt. And he did so with 10 plagues, 10 miraculous plagues. And they escaped. They didn't need to escape. They just were told to leave right out of Egypt. They went across the Red Sea. And again, this is miraculous because the people walked through the Red Sea. Because God is working through his people. And this is what's so exciting about being a part of God's people, being one of his, is to know that God wants to work in and through us, and the results of this people see. People are watching. And they are interpreting what they are seeing. And they can do that pretty accurately, even if they do not have a Judeo-Christian background. Rahab lived in an idolatrous land. They didn't worship Jehovah God. But yet, somehow she gets it right. Did she and the spies have a conversation before the guards knocked on the door? Who knows? We aren't told that. But nevertheless, she interprets what is happening, and she interprets it correctly. The Lord has given you this land. Now, what is so fascinating about this is the end of verse 11, you see her declaration of who she believes the Lord is. You see that? What does she say? She says, "For the Lord, for Yahweh, your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Wow. So this is a harlot living in Jericho. What does she know of God? What does she know of the Lord? She knows that the Lord brought the people across the Red Sea on dry land. She knows that the Lord allowed them to have an incredible victory over Sihon and Og, just on the other side of the Jordan, and they utterly destroyed them. And now she knows that this group of people, the Lord's people, are interested in her city. And there's a sense of urgency here. There's this sense of, who are you, people of Israel? And who is your God? What is happening is there is a comparison in her heart, a comparison between the gods of Jericho and the God of the Israelites. And the gods of Jericho just, they aren't seeming to have the effect that she would have hoped. The people are afraid. They lack courage. Their hearts are melting. But yet the people of God are walking with great confidence, authority, and power. She's got a choice to make, because they've knocked on her door. Wow. This was God. This is God at work. God directed the spies to her door. Not the harlot down the street. Her door. And God was working in her heart to the point that she was able to make this declaration from the little bit that she knew and understood, that the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and the earth beneath. What is she saying? He is the one true God. Keep your fingers here in Joshua and go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. So Moses here uses very similar language in a challenging message to the people of Israel, the new generation ready to go in to the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. He's making a comparison. The first part of the chapter is, if you disobey God, these are the results. Verse 29 then, but if from thence you shall seek the Lord your God, then, or thou shalt find him, and if thou shalt seek with him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenants of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Did you see a little phrase at the beginning of verse 31? For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. A merciful God. Could it be that Rahab is presuming upon the goodness and mercy of Jehovah God? Will he have mercy on me? Later in Deuteronomy chapter 4, you look at verse 39, Moses continues, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God gives you forever." This is a theology lesson for the people of Israel. They are learning the character of God. And these are things and truths that Rahab grabs a hold of. The Lord, He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. And these are things that she came to know and understand because of the work of God amongst His people. God worked, and the news spread. Church, you are God's people, and God will work in us, and the news will spread. May our church, may the Church of America, have such a testimony that when people look at us, they say, God must be at work in their life, and He must be the only one true living God. The people of Israel, and Joshua here is leading this effort. They have a testimony to live. You see, they bear the name of the Lord on their banner. For the Lord, He is God. So this is the declaration that Rahab gives to the two spies. She says this to them, and what we see is she is expressing, or confessing, if you will, her faith. She is saying what she believes. And she is testifying how she got there. I have seen God work. And so therefore, I believe He's the Lord, the one true God. Heaven and earth. Wow. This is a harlot in Jericho. What she does next is confirmation of her faith. For what she says next in verse 12 is, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Rahab, aren't you asking a little much? Could be a response. No. What she is doing is evidence of her faith, because what she is saying is, I believe this to the degree that I want my family, I want my mother, I want my father, my sisters, and my brothers to be a part of this too. You see, when you have a living faith, it is so powerful in your life that you want to tell other people about it and you want them to be included in it. And so what we're seeing is she is saying, listen, I've been kind to you. Might you show kindness to me by saving my family? Now, these two spies, they aren't Joshua, and I'm sure that Joshua didn't know exactly what was all going to take place. But under the providence of God, their response certainly is in agreement with her request. Now, we see Rahab, her understanding of God is that He is kind. He is merciful. Do we display by our lives a kind and merciful God? Do we have such a spirit as to say to an enemy who chooses to believe, sure, get anybody else you can. Let's save them too. You realize now, don't miss this detail, Rahab's house was on the wall. What came crumbling down? The walls. But there must have been, and we know this to be true, a portion left. It was her home. Now, did Joshua have anything to do with that? No. Joshua didn't knock the walls down. The Lord knocked the walls down. The Lord honored her faith. And what we read in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, is Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwells in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Wait a minute, Pastor, I thought it was because of her faith. Ha! You are playing right into James's game. Who's James? James, half-brother Jesus, wrote a letter, and he talks about Rahab. Curious what he says? Good, let's go there. James chapter 2. James chapter 2 is this declaration of what faith is. And we commonly use this phrase, faith without works is what? Is dead. And James speaks of Abraham in verse 23. But look at verse 24. James 2:24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so when Joshua 6:25, it says, she was saved because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. It is expressing exactly what James is saying, that faith without works is dead. That Rahab was justified by her works because what she did, the way she lived, exemplified what she truly believed. She believed that the Lord was God. And so therefore she took steps to protect God's people. And she took steps to protect her family, that they might also be saved. Well, church, why look at Rahab? Why is Rahab in the Bible? You need to know and realize that she's in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She's in that list of faith, of people of faith. She didn't perish with them that believed not. which tells me that the people of Jericho, they had a crisis of belief. And really, think about it. They had 7 days to think about it. Round and round and round and round the people of God went. And every day, the people of Israel, they would have had to think about, who is their God? Rahab already knew. He's the Lord God of heaven and of earth. So she's in Hebrews chapter 11. She's in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. She's there as an illustration. She's also in the line of Jesus. You see, she was the mother of Boaz. Ruth, she was the mother of Boaz. And Boaz, with Ruth, begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse. And who did Jesse beget? David. Yeah. So, here we are, Joshua chapter 2 through 6, and here is Rahab and the Battle of Jericho. But yet, let's not miss that God wants to work through his people, and he is doing that. And that is having an effect upon people that we don't even realize. The people of Israel on the other side of the Jordan had no idea that there sat a harlot who was just longing for a chance to be saved. And God gave that to her. And she was saved. And she became an integral part of the scriptures. God is using you. And God wants to use you, church. And trust me, we won't realize the full extent of all of that until we reach heaven. And the lives that your testimony is touching. But don't miss this. It's not about you and me and how good you may be. But remember, our testimony is of the Lord and his work. And so the people of Israel, there was this testimony that there was the Lord that brought them across the Red Sea. It wasn't that they had big fans and blew the water out of the way. No, it was the Lord that did that. It was the Lord that conquered Sion and Og to the point of utter destruction. Yes, the people did that fighting, absolutely, but it was the Lord. The enemies understood it was the Lord. And Rahab put these dots together and came to understand the Lord, he is God. He's the Lord of heaven and of earth. And she is honored and recognized for her faith. Illustrated by what she did. How she received the spies and sent them out another way. Such a simple thing, just a few lines in scripture. But what did it show? It showed that she believed in the Lord God. How are you showing your faith today? How are you showing your faith today in the Lord God? That he is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. Lord, I thank you for the scriptures. And God, you know how I enjoy the narratives, and I appreciate the characters. And thank you for bringing to our attention tonight what we have looked at with Rahab. Oh, I pray now, God, that you would strengthen your church, us as individuals, as we go from this place. There's a week ahead of us. There's a world out there that is watching. A world, a neighborhood, Lord, that needs to hear the gospel. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming. Thank you for saving us, Lord. We rejoice in that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.